Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in. We are live and running today with this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. It's Thursdays, which means the great Lee Kelly is with me in studio. And Lee, it's a great day to talk some sports, especially right here in Southern Indiana, but it's not a great day to be outside. I think we're in the middle of what's going to be a couple bad weather days for us here in this area.
Yeah, a lot of rain this morning. My friends who golf just about every day may get a day off today, it looks like, but a lot of rain coming down.
Well, a lot to get to today. If you listen on Thursdays, you know we've got some regular guests. We also have been in the midst of talking with all of the area high school basketball coaches as we approach the final stages for many teams as they approach their final week or so of summer activities, getting an early look at their team, trying to figure things out for next season. So we'll continue that today as well. Let's look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us today, once Lee and I go through some of the headlines and news of the day, in segment one, we will have in segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. We'll take a look at some IU basketball stuff. We'll talk a little more about the team camp set for this weekend in Bloomington. A lot of great high school programs, not just from Indiana, but from the Midwest will participate, which means a lot of great players will be on the campus of IU this weekend. It's really a great, great way for us to ramp up talking about some IU guys before, in advance of the big July month. That's when, of course, coaches are on the road. That's when, of course, all the big summer tournaments are. Kids will reunite with their travel teams, their shoe sponsor teams, and it's always a fun month to track. There's something going on every day. A lot of scholarship offers get delivered in that month. Just a lot of news about the future of not just IU's college basketball program is learned during that month, but about the college basketball world as a whole with all the coaches out and networking and media there. So a fun month. So we'll talk some about that with Alex as well when he joins us. And of course, the IU team on campus, working camps, working individually on their skills and their physical fitness, and working, I'm sure, as a team within the rules as much as they can to get ready for next season as well. So we'll talk to Alex about that. Also later, our preview of high school teams, our way too early look, you could say, of high school basketball teams for next season continues. Floyd Central coach Todd Sturgeon will be with us later in the program. The Highlanders are coming off a super year from last season. They do lose a lot of height, a lot of length, a lot of seniors off of the team from last year. But, of course, they return Kobe Barnes, who is expected to be the area's top player next year. I think he'll be one of the really good players here in our local area. And they've got some other weapons and tools returning as well. So we'll talk with Coach Sturgeon about that. His team has been busy this month playing summer league games that you've heard us talk about during the week at New Albany in the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. But also just yesterday, his team was up in Indiana State playing there. And his team is scheduled to play at Indiana over the weekend, as are New Albany and Jeffersonville and Silver Creek. So a lot of area teams will be on the IU campus this weekend to play some summer basketball games, and we'll talk with Coach Sturgeon a little later in the program. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And Lee, yesterday, Joe Luce telling me that Trey Coleman, who will be a junior next year, received a scholarship offer from Indiana State. Jeffersonville was also playing some games at Indiana State's team shootout in Terre Haute, and coaches can watch, even though it's a dead period where they couldn't go to another event and watch. If you're on their campus, they can obviously watch, and wanted to go ahead and get a scholarship offer out to Trey Coleman, which I think is a wise move by the Sycamores. I think you'll see a lot of other mid-major and higher programs potentially follow this in Indiana. He had an offer a year ago almost. It was last July, the end of the month, from New Orleans. Then it was a month and a half or so ago, he got an offer from Nebraska. Now he picks up what I'm aware of as his third offer, Indiana State. And I can't imagine that the Ball States and others in that same level will be following suit very soon. And I think it would not surprise me if Trey continues to improve his impressive body and physique that he has, if he puts more and more skills to go with that, as he appears to be doing. Wouldn't surprise me if some other Big Ten teams popped to offer him a scholarship.
Yeah, Alex, on the show last Thursday, we talked about the fact there's only one Indiana player in the class of 2020 that from Indiana, Galloway. But Alex mentioned that he thinks Trey Coleman will be moving into that Rivals top 150 across the country as a player. And I think we're seeing scholarship offers beginning to come along to support that theory. And I've seen Coleman play a couple of times in the Summer League, which is another reason for people to go to Summer League games, because you can watch these young men play. But very impressive young man, very athletic, quick off the floor, quick as a cat moving, and his skills just to continue to improve. He's fun to watch.
Speaking of Summer League play, does continue tonight at New Albany High School. This is the final big night of play, so if you haven't had a chance to get out, again, $2 gets you in. All the locations, there's plenty of games for you to take in, so make sure you get out tonight. We're going to go through some of the key matchups here tonight on this Thursday, June 21st, New Albany High School. Some of the varsity games there starting at 4:30. Charlestown will take on Kentucky Country Day. Silver Creek, their varsity orange team, will take on Bowling Green. That's quite a trip for Bowling Green, a good team always in Kentucky. 6:30, Charlestown will take on Male. 7:30, New Albany will take on Bowling Green. That should be a very good matchup, kind of a highlight game of the evening. And at 8:30, Silver Creek's varsity orange team takes on Male. That game is at 8:30. Also tonight, Hazelwood Middle School, games start at 4:30, and the first varsity game there is Silver Creek's varsity blue team against Shawnee varsity. Shawnee will take on Corden. Providence will take on North Oldham. Corden will take on North Oldham as well. Those are the varsity games at Hazelwood. And then at Scribner tonight, starting at 3:30, is the first varsity game. You've got Carroll County against Christian Academy of Indiana at 3:30. You've got Christian Academy of Indiana back at it again against Henryville at 4:30. Tell City in Henryville at 5:30. Christian Academy of Kentucky, that's the one in Louisville, against Floyd Central at 6:30. And then skipping to 8:30, the next varsity game is Floyd Central against Tell City. We mentioned that New Albany Bowling Green was kind of the highlight matchup at New Albany tonight. Floyd Central Tell City will be the highlight matchup of Scribner tonight. Floyd Central obviously returns Kobe Barnes. They've got other players that are going to step up big, I'm sure, for next season with some potential. But Tell City, coached by Matt Lynch, they've had a great summer. They beat Ballard the other night. They played New Albany within, I think, 4 or 5 points a few weeks ago. Same with Jeffersonville. They played the Red Devils very, very close earlier in the summer. He's got a really good team. It's a little to the west that we'll be following and covering very often, but neat to see someone with a connection back to this area do well, and I know he's gearing up for a big season. That's what Summer League's about. Floyd Central's trying to figure things out. They've got talent. They're going to be fine. Coach Sturgeon does a great job. They're coming off some momentum. There's no question Floyd Central's an improved program just across the board that will continue to get better and better, I think. But Summer League also gives the opportunity for a Tell City, a smaller school, to take on a New Albany, to take on a Floyd Central, a Jeffersonville. Christian Academy a few nights ago took on New Albany in a good battle and has taken on other bigger schools. It lets those teams without the pressure of a regular regular season game on the line, stack up and see where they're at against some of the better and bigger teams in the area. So another good night, $2 at the door. Again, New Albany games at 4:30, Hazelwood games at 4:30. Scribner actually begins at 3:30, so a busy evening once again.
Yeah, and teams like Silver Creek that have a lot of kids coming back, some younger, some older veterans, they can split into two teams and give more people playing time and an opportunity to improve over the summer. So coaches can do it just about any way they want. I believe they can choose the number of games they want to play, the number of teams they want to enter, and things like that. So complete flexibility is one of the great things about that Kentucky and a Summer Basketball League.
Absolutely. Let's continue on in our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Five local players from the baseball side of things invited to play in the Indiana High School Baseball Coaches Association North-South All-Star Series next month in South Bend. I mention this because we had a chance, Lee, you and I, to cover so many of these players this past season right here on the Big X. Silver Creek's Sammy Barnett, Jeff's Ethan English, Providence's Tim Borden, Borden's Lucas McNew, and New Albany's Ryan Robison. They will play for the South team when they face the Northern Indiana All-Stars. That's the third weekend of July. It'll take place at Four Winds Field in South Bend, which is home of the South Bend Cubs. So a neat way for five really good high school baseball players in our area to go out as far as their high school careers go on a first-class facility up in South Bend, playing with some of the best from Indiana.
Yeah, it's a great honor to be chosen for that, and every one of these young men certainly deserve to be a part of that team. They've had outstanding seasons. We certainly have enjoyed watching them and broadcasting games they played in. So a lot of fun, and wishing them the best of luck.
Absolutely. Again, that's a look at some local all-stars on the baseball side getting the opportunity to play in a neat experience coming up later this summer. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports, right here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here, Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly is with me, and Thursdays we always get the opportunity to chat with Alex Bozich, a great resource on all things IU basketball. Our conversation each week with Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store, right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, a lot of activity for the summer months. I know each week we kind of talk about the excitement that is out there surrounding IU basketball at this juncture of the off season. You guys have continued your coverage. I heard a bit of your podcast the other day, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News coming on, and he talked a lot about Romeo, and I'm curious if you can, in promotion of your podcast, tell us maybe a little bit about what a national analyst like him had to say about not just Romeo the recruit, but Romeo the incoming freshman that will suit up for Indiana next season.
Yeah, Mike's actually somebody I've known for quite a while. You know, obviously a Hall of Fame journalist with the United States Basketball Writers Association. He's been doing it a long time, so his opinion is one that I respect greatly, and we had him on yesterday more or less to talk about a variety of things. But as you mentioned, Romeo was one of the main topics of conversation. And Mike talked a lot about not just about what he thinks Romeo will do from an offensive perspective, but in terms of being a great all-around player, one of the more interesting observations that I thought he had was just when he went and watched him last summer at the USA basketball trials out in Colorado when he was getting ready to obviously go over to Egypt. He noticed that Romeo was more than just a scorer, and I think that's one thing that maybe gets lost in some of these projections and things people are talking about next year about how much he's going to help the offense. Not only is he going to bring scoring, but I think he's a very, very much a team player, a guy who's going to be willing to do the little things to help you win, and also be able to help from a defensive perspective. I think Mike thinks that, assuming Romeo, really kind of digs in on that end, he can be a really an impact defender at the college level. And I think one other thing he cautioned people to not expect too much in terms of the scoring. You know, I thought he was maybe a little bit conservative. He thinks Romeo next year might average 14 or 15 points a game. I think he'll average more than that, but any freshman that comes into the Big Ten, there's going to be bumps in the road. And I imagine as the season rolls on next year, there's going to be a lot of different ways that the Big Ten teams try to defend Romeo and try to take things away from him. It's going to be a different level of physicality. I know that this year at New Albany, there was a lot of things that people tried at different schools, but in most cases, he was just too athletic and physically superior to be stopped. But that's not always going to be the case in college next year. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles all of that. But overall, Mike is very intrigued by Romeo and thinks he's going to be a terrific player next year in Bloomington. And we'll look forward to seeing if that comes to fruition.
Looks like IU has an opportunity to have a great season in the Big Ten, but so do a lot of other teams. There's a lot of question marks out there up and down the board about the Big Ten next year. Your thoughts on the league in general?
Yeah, I got some blowback a couple weeks ago. I did my – it might have been last week. The weeks are all starting to run together here. But I did a off-season power rankings for the Big Ten. And just after, the NBA draft deadline is come and gone, we kind of have a pretty good idea, I think, for the most part, who's going to be on which team. I mean, there could be obviously some grad transfers and things like that still shake out. But for the most part, I think the rosters are set. And, I've got Michigan State right now as the favorite, but I don't feel great about it. The reason I have them there is because they have Cassius Winston, Nick Ward, and Josh Langford all returning. And all three of those guys are going to be juniors and I think are going to be very good players. Now, some people might say, well, they lost Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges. They did, but they still return a really strong nucleus of players. And the team that really I got the most flack for was Wisconsin. I've got them at number two right now. They obviously struggled a lot last year, but they're bringing back Ethan Happ, and they had a lot of injuries last year. I think their guard play is going to be a lot better, and I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. But I had Indiana fourth, and I preface that with I could see them winning the Big Ten, or I could see them finishing, fourth or fifth. It's just so many teams right now that have a lot of question marks about. Michigan is another one. They went to the national championship game last year, but they lose, I think, two or three starters. They return a pretty solid nucleus as well, but you don't know how a team's going to respond when they lose a couple of their best players. Another team that some people like, some people aren't as high on is Maryland. I think they were hurt a little bit by Kevin Herter's decision to stay in the NBA draft. But I think really the Big Ten, I feel like we say this every year, but this coming season, it's as wide open as I can remember it. I mean, I think a lot of people are probably going to pick Michigan State as their favorite to win the league there. I did a roundup earlier in the week and kind of looked at some of the preseason top 25s around the country. They're the team that's consistently ranked the highest, but I don't necessarily look at them as maybe the team with the most upside. I think when you look at Indiana, they're a team that has question marks on paper in terms of their point guard play and the post play, but if Romeo is as good as advertised and Juwan Morgan has a monster season, I think their upside could be as high as any team in the Big Ten. So I think that's one thing that will be fun to talk about and look forward to as the offseason rolls along is just the Big Ten in general. And I think it's going to be maybe a more balanced league. I think there's going to be a better chance for more teams to get in the NCAA tournament, but I'm not sure there's going to be a team that's as good as what Michigan State or Purdue were, at least in the regular season last year.
Alex, as you look at the college basketball season coming up in a few months, who's going to be the Trey Young that hits the headlines this year, or which team's going to be the Loyola of Chicago come next March? Any input or any thoughts you have on the players that are going to jump out, either as an incoming freshman or maybe a veteran that put it all together over the summer?
Well, if I knew the next Loyola, Mr. Kelly, we could fly to Vegas right now and put a bet down and probably make a lot of money. I wish I had a good answer for you on that. But in terms of the guys I think that are going to come in and make a major impact right away, I think everyone's probably looking at Duke and saying, wow, they're going to have Trey Jones, who's the youngest brother of Tyus Jones, who won a national championship there, and he's their fourth best recruit coming in. The other three they have, Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson, and R.J. Barrett. I've already got that game, Indiana at Duke, circled and pinned, because think of the talent that's going to be on that court. Romeo Langford and then three players who were ranked ahead of him. So that, to me, Duke is, to me, the most intriguing team going into next season. I know a lot of people are talking about Kentucky with the addition of Reed Travis, the Stanford grad transfer that they picked up, But Duke, to me, if they can put it all together, they have just an insane amount of talent on that roster next year. They have, like I said, three of, I think, the top four or five recruits in the country coming in. I feel like we're saying that now every year with them. But they're a team that I'm really looking at to do big things next year. Another team that I think a lot of people are high on, and rightfully so, is Kansas. They obviously bring in a pretty nice recruiting class, have some strong returnees, but just kind of like the Big Ten, I look at college basketball at large next year, and it looks pretty wide open. Obviously, Villanova was a dominant team last year, but they lost so much. I think it's going to be one of those years where you could maybe have five or seven, 10 teams come tournament time that people were picking across the board to win the national championship. So, should be another fun year. And when it's wide open, I think it opens up the path for more teams like Loyola Chicago to emerge, and what a great story that was for college basketball last year to follow. I think it increased maybe the interest in the sport from a casual fan's perspective, and that's something that the sport really needs. I think another thing that's really going to help next year is there's going to be a lot more marquee matchups earlier in the season. The season's moved up. The start date this year has moved up 3 days. I think it's going to start the first Tuesday in November, so not only is the season going to start a little bit earlier, they're going to have the Champions Classic right there on the first day of the season, I believe, to tip things off. And there's going to be some other good non-conference games that first week. And I think from a national perspective, anything that college basketball can do in the non-conference season to get more of these marquee matchups and get people talking about the sport earlier in the year is good, because, most of the country isn't like us. They don't live and breathe college basketball 365 days a year. In SEC country, it's, it's football all the time, and college basketball, they'll get around to it when football season's over. But we're in a special place of the country, and I feel like the more that the sport can do to showcase itself earlier in the year and not have some of these, games like, no one wants to watch Indiana play Savannah State. Nobody wants to watch Kentucky play Robert Morris or whoever that, they play in the non-conference schedule. So anything that they can do to kind of make the game more appealing to a broader audience early in the season, I think is good. And I think starting the season a little bit earlier and having some of these marquee matchups early in the year, I mean, Indiana's going to play Marquette and Duke in the first month of the season. That's going to be, I think, really good for exposure, and also really good for the program in the Big Ten.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex, NBA draft is tonight. I think it's clear mm-hmm. that Michigan State with Jaren Jackson and also Miles Bridges will kind of highlight the Big Ten as far as mm-hmm. what could happen tonight, who could get picked in the first round, second round perhaps. Any other Big Ten storylines for people to pay attention to tonight in the draft?
I would say, the two guys I'm most interested in seeing where they go, Kate Bates Diop, who a year ago at this time nobody was talking about because he was coming off injury, and then he went Big Ten Player of the Year. Now he went pro early. He's got a chance to slide in somewhere late in the first round. That'll be a great story if he can do that. I think he's very deserving of everything, all the accolades he got last year. Just had a really great year for Ohio State. The other guy is Mo Wagner from Michigan. I think some of the projections for him right now are anywhere from 20 to 40 in the draft. He left early as well, and he's another guy who I think can have a long NBA career. He's just so versatile. Was a major reason that Michigan was able to advance as far as they did last year in the NCAA tournament. He'll be tough for them to replace. I mean, you don't find big guys that are 6'10", that can shoot threes, put the ball on the floor, and do as much as he can every day. So that's going to be interesting to see how Michigan replaces them. But, yeah, it's kind of a light year for the Big Ten. You know, as you mentioned, everyone is focused on Jaren Jackson. I think the consensus is he's going to go somewhere in the top five, and Miles Bridges may slip to the lower part of the lottery, but he's still going to be, at the end of the day, you know, signing a pretty nice contract. And I think one of the things that's going to happen tonight, if Bridges falls a little bit longer or farther than some expect, and, you know, he's one of the last guys sitting in the green room, I'm sure the conversation is going to shift to, well, did he make a mistake by coming back for a second year? But I think ultimately, you know, maybe he would have went higher if he would have come out a year earlier, but probably if you ask him, the experience that he got, you know, being back in college, that's something he's going to remember for the rest of his life. And I think he's going to, you know, if he does slip, you know, 14, 15, or 16, I think you're getting a heck of a player and a heck of a value at that position if you're able to get him then in the draft.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us every Thursday. Want to talk to you some about the team camp. What we'll do is we'll recap the team camp next week when you come on. But just a quick word about that before we let you go. Ton of talent will be there. A lot of great teams from Indiana and beyond. You and I watched the team camp, at least a day of it, together last year, and were highly impressed with in a short period of time, the number of prospects and their teams that Archie Miller and his staff were able to bring on campus. There was kind of a feeling of refreshment that Indiana, once again, was having a team camp after Tom Crean didn't do so. At least maybe he did early in his time, but he didn't do so for the majority of his years at Indiana. We saw the dividends that played with Jerome Hunter and getting very involved with Trace Jackson Davis. And when I see the schedule for this year, it's just a loaded field. It's got a lot of local teams from our area going up. It's got a lot of Indiana teams with prospects that we talk about all the time and you write about all the time. And it's even got some out-of-state teams that all have some very good players they're going to be bringing to Bloomington. It's just a really important piece of the summer, I think, for a big college in the state that's really wanting to hit home with coaches and recruits in the state to offer a team camp, but also not just to offer it, but to work at it to make sure they get the players and the teams and the coaches that they want on campus for the event.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer to have it. Obviously, Purdue's had them for a long time, Michigan State, Michigan. Those are some of the most successful programs in the Big Ten, and they have one every year. And it was kind of a head-scratching thing that Indiana didn't have it later in Tom Crean's tenure. And really, it's you know, just an opportunity to showcase yourself to some of the state's best players and some of the Midwest's best players. I mean, you can get guys on campus, you can pull them aside, talk to them, you know, you can communicate with them. Obviously, the coaches from Indiana aren't coaching any of the players on the floor because they're with their teams, but they can watch as much as they want. They can tour the facilities with guys, and it's really just a no-lose situation to bring those guys on campus, get a chance to evaluate them, get a chance to meet their families, get to know them more, talk to them, and really it's a great event. As you mentioned, last year it was, I think, instrumental in helping with guys like Jerome Hunter and Trace Jackson Davis, and I'm sure we'll see some similar things emerge this year as they kind of move into July. It's a, you know, a chance to evaluate some guys, and maybe you see somebody you didn't know about before, or you watch somebody and then you get a chance to watch them again a little bit more closely in July and a more in a different situation, maybe against some even better competition. So looking forward to it. I think it's great that they have it again, and I think it'll be a great weekend of basketball.
That's Alex Bozich inside the hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex, thanks a lot.
No problem. Have a good day, guys.
Absolutely. Don't forget, you can stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson counties for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. One other reminder, of course, coming up next, we have Todd Sturgeon in the program to talk Floyd Central basketball, at least over the summer here. But you remember Brian Keeter, who joined me a couple weeks ago, friend of Archie Miller, played with him at North Carolina State, was paralyzed after an accident, and is now actually living in Louisville. He's got his cornhole tournament. It's called Cornhole for a Cause by the Walk-On Foundation, the name of his foundation, which benefits Kentucky Spinal Cord Injury Research Center. And it's Saturday, this Saturday coming up, June 23rd, 9 a.m. at Papa John's Stadium in Louisville, Kentucky. $30 a player. It is a tax-deductible donation. There's going to be a silent auction, some raffles, live music from Eric Dodd, 100-team limit, so you want to register now to make sure you get in, and some sponsorship opportunities available as well. Brian, I tell you what, I saw Archie Miller tweet about this, which is kind of what reminded me to mention it to you guys after we had him on the show. But a good cause, a good guy, and someone that we'll have back from time to time as he makes trips to Bloomington to visit his friend and follow the Hoosiers over the season. Also, NBA draft tonight, as we talked about with Alex. It's always a fun evening to get a lot of information as you see where some of the future pros go and learn their background. And Lee, I mentioned this some yesterday. We were talking before the program, and you're like me. You love high school. You love college. You're not a big NBA guy, but you've paid more attention to the draft this year. And I can't help but think, as we read about things and see the breakdowns on players and hear about some trade rumors that have even come up overnight, it's hard to wonder if a year from now this program on this day won't be heavily involved and invested in the NBA draft, talking about perhaps where Romeo Langford is projected to go.
It certainly would be fun, and everybody's looking at that, but it's almost like when he was a freshman and everybody was talking about he was going to go to some type of prep school, and he was going to do this and he was going to do that. Well, now it's, well, he's only going to stay 1 year. He's going to stay 2 years because he needs the build up his strength. And then I've been told within the last week, now I talked to his dad, he's going to stay 4 years. He's going to be a four-year player at IU. So there's always something swirling around, it seems like, with Romeo, that people on the inside have information. I don't think anybody knows. I think it's the same thing as where is he going to college and how long is he going to stay at New Albany? Nobody knows. But I hope we're sitting here. First of all, I hope I'm sitting here next year able to do that. Secondly, I would love to be talking about where he might be going.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. The draft has changed so much. You used to get to really know these guys that were getting drafted after most of them, if not all of them, played 4 years of college basketball, and you got to see them in the big games for a number of years and maybe in Final Fours and national championship games, all the background pieces that the networks do, you know, to really kind of the storylines behind the scenes. And so you felt like you knew these guys. Now a lot of these players have played 1 year of college ball, and there are so many more foreign players coming into the NBA, to the draft. So it really has taken something that was kind of a celebration of the culmination of your college career, heading to the pros, seeing where you're going to get drafted, now to being almost an introduction. Unless you really, really are into the NBA and you really follow some of this stuff, there's no way you know about some of these players. Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges, obviously, if you followed Indiana, Big Ten, we know a lot about those guys. Jaren Jackson from Indiana, probably have seen him play, but in person, that is. But there's no way that unless you're just really into this. And there's a lot more coverage of the draft now to help you with the foreign players and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I would if I was announcing their names tonight with a little bit I know about it, I would be butchering a lot of the foreign names. There's no question about that.
Guaranteed. Rick Bozich had a column earlier this week talking about who the top draft pick was going back through the years and who the best player ended up being in the NBA. And it was interesting. I've seen those things like that before. But, you know, you look around at the NBA finals that just finished. Draymond Green went in the second round. Now, he has people that really like him. He has a lot of people that hate the way he plays the game, but he's an important part of that team. But my point is, you just never know. And as these players have gone through different tryouts, some personal tryouts with an individual team and others, the writers, the so-called experts look to find fault with every one of these players, and almost do. A player that I thought would be absolutely fabulous, they mention, well, his defense is a little quiet, and Bagley is one of those that offensively they love this guy, but the scouting reports going into the NBA draft is he hides on the defensive end. So he's an outstanding player, certainly fun to watch, but how he will end up as a pro, it's just a crapshoot, and there's nothing more than that. And you look at teams that have had a lottery pick for a number of years in a row that still are at the bottom of the league, and you wonder, are they just taking a dart and throwing it at a board full of names? Because it couldn't get much worse than what they've done.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to get to a commercial break. We're going to come back with Todd Sturgeon, the Floyd Central coach. Our summer update on Southern Indiana High School basketball will continue with the Floyd Central coach after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. We have had the opportunity here over the last week to have all the coaches on from the area. We're in the process, I should say, of having all the coaches on for a summer update as we look ahead to the 2018-19 high school basketball season. And Lee Kelly is with me. And today our guest is Floyd Central coach Todd Sturgeon. The Highlanders coming off a fantastic season, 24 wins, 2 losses last season, a Hoosier Hills Conference championship. And, Coach, I know you lose some key seniors from a very special team for the Highlanders and for your school a year ago. But, however, Kobe Barnes going to lead things for you very clearly next season. He's had a great summer, some good performances in all-star games. He's looked good when he's been suited up with the Highlanders in summer games. And so we got to start with Kobe. He obviously is going to be the go-to next season for Floyd Central, and he really has developed himself over the last few years, I think, for that position as a senior.
Well, yeah, and he basically touched on all points there, Matt. He's he's had a great season last year and got himself as a member of part of the Junior Indiana All-Star program and given an opportunity, played phenomenally. I can't remember 35 points and 15 rebounds, something like that in the game against Kentucky, and then in the Indiana Class Basketball All-Star game last week, had 43 and 12, I think. And so hopefully, beyond, obviously, we want him to help our team, but, hopefully he's positioned himself well for an opportunity to make the All-Star team next year.
Talking with Todd Sturgeon, he's the coach at Floyd Central here on this Thursday program. I've got to ask, when you lose some key players, as you did, a number of guys that had been with your program for 3-4 years as far as varsity players, a lot of height, a lot of length that I thought really made your team an outstanding defensive team, especially when you lose those guys, that has to make the pain a little easier knowing you've got someone with the firepower that Kobe brings to the floor coming back for his senior year.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a good place to start, So I guess you can't really – I had a friend of mine in coaching remind me of that. I was complaining, like, man, we lost 5 of our top 6 guys. And he's like, you're not allowed to complain when you have an Indiana All-Star returning. So that's probably true in that regard. And so – but, we've had a good JV team the last couple of years. We haven't lost very many JV games, and we've got a group of guys that were juniors last year, have been waiting their turn. Because they haven't been able to break through, and as they were growing up, as JV guys, the last couple of summers we've played them against varsity teams, and so knowing that we were going to get to this point where they didn't have regular season varsity experience, but we were going to need them to play, and so that's been valuable for us to get that in the past, and then to play together this summer a few times.
Coach had a chance to catch your team a couple of times in this summer league and was very impressed with your son. The upper body strength obviously is there, but he gets off the floor very quick and has a gets up in the air pretty doggone good, has a nice shot. Very impressed. Able, I thought he stood out much more, obviously, with some of the kids gone. He has kind of taken over and assumed the role of he needs to score, he needs to rebound, he needs to play defense. And I thought he had looked very good as well for your team this summer.
Yeah, Cam has had a good summer. You know, he's he talked about his strength. He's a discus and shot put guy. So that's really his best sport. And he's kind of played basketball because he enjoys being around his friends and that sort of thing. And like a lot of our now senior group has had to wait his turn behind some older guys and has played well this summer. So and has started. He hasn't really been a scorer in the past, largely because he hasn't really spent a lot of his time working on basketball. I give him a hard time about that a little bit, but he started to develop a little bit of that on this summer, and so. We'll see how that goes, but, you know, we've got a lot of guys. Nick Winchell is a guy who's, you know, been one of the best players in the area in his grade growing up and has an opportunity to you know, kind of burst onto the scene this year as a varsity player. And then we got a young guy in Jake Heidbreeder who kind of led our JV team in every statistical category last year. And with a guy at the end of the season, we're like, well, maybe we should have been playing him more on the varsity and so forth. And so now he's going to get a chance. And he's looked good and had some time as well as several other guys on our team. But we're looking forward to it. Obviously, we missed those guys. And I kind of had a little bit of a hangover just because we had a group of guys that were not only good and talented, but were easy to coach and fun to be around and were unselfish and you know, all those things that you preach as a coach. So it was hard to let them go.
Todd Sturgeon.
Kind of emotionally for me. But, you know, this is a new group of guys who we're going to have to play a little bit differently with these guys. And so that's kind of, you know, I've enjoyed this summer with this group also, and we're excited about, we think we, maybe can surprise some people. You know, I don't think we're up there in most people's considerations, and so we got a chance to see if we can, you know, this group of guys make a name for themselves.
Todd Sturgeon, the coach of Floyd Central, with us as we continue talking with area coaches, getting their thoughts on their teams here in the middle of the summer with the 2018-19 season still a number of months away. We never want to stop talking basketball here in Southern Indiana. Coach Sturgeon, you know, you've been at the college level, high school level, a lot of success at Floyd Central as you've built that program. What do you look to get out of the summer? And how do you go about that? It's interesting to hear each coach answer some form of this question as far as how they structure games, where they go play, and maybe the reasoning behind how they do things in the month of June.
Yeah, and I think even coaches, you know, I'm doing things a lot differently this year than we have the last couple of years. And certainly my first year, I was just trying to see, you know, who we're going to be able to count on, like who's going to show up and who's going to play hard and that sort of thing. And so we were, you know, really evaluating even in practice, and we statted it and filmed it and we're trying to figure out all those things. And then as we grew and the program grew last year, I thought we had a team that maybe had a chance to challenge at a pretty high level in the state. And so we tried to travel all over the place. And, you know, as looking back, on the season from a year ago, last, you know, the teams that we played last summer, we played Warren Central and Hamilton Southeastern and all those teams that were top teams in the state, and we traveled around and played those. And then this year we've got a group of seniors that these guys have been playing together a lot. And even though you would think, well, you'll want to play a bunch of games and get those guys together, this is a group of guys that we got a bunch of multi-sport guys, and I didn't want to burn them out. And so we didn't play. You know, we're going to play tomorrow night. Is our last two games of the summer together. And it's only going to be our eighth and ninth games that we played. We went over, went to Indiana State and played teams from Illinois and Ohio yesterday. And these will be our eighth and ninth games today. And that's all we're going to play. In the past, we've played, you know, 14, 15, 16 games, and we didn't do that this year. And so I don't know if any coach has a true handle on it, but that's the way we did it. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to kind of play it year by year, and it'll probably vary depending on, you know, the group that we've got. So
Coach,
I'm not sure we have any answers. that's our theory behind it.
But one of the answers is that a high school coach now, the coaching part of it is a year-round job almost. By the time you add the games in the summer and then open gym in the fall, which if I understand the rule correctly, you can be a little more involved in the fall open gym than in the past. It's a year-round job, basically.
Yeah, and it has been, you know, even if you go back, so I'm going to take you on the way back machine here, Lee. Back in the early 80s when I was in high school, and actually I guess this would be even, holy cow, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, in the 70s would have been when my high school coach came in and the program was struggling, and he and his assistants were in the gym. The gym was open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every single Monday through Friday, the whole summer. And that's back when you had 3 months off. And there was a coach in that gym. Well, wouldn't you know it, 3 years later, Brownstown would go on a run of winning sectionals. And so the guys that win and are serious about it, they've been going year-round. Even though you couldn't actually practice, you're in there doing something with your guys. You're lifting. You got the gym open. You're doing, you know, you're planning, you're watching film. Those guys have been doing that for years, the guys that truly were committed. And so, yes, you're right. We can be hands-on maybe more than in the past. But I don't know for, you know, it's one of those things. I think the guys that are serious about it and good at it are thinking about their team all the time, no matter what, you know, even if they can't be with them. It's kind of hard to even go on vacation. So that's just kind of the way it is, that we're kind of a sick, twisted bunch, I guess.
Well, Coach, I go back to the 60s, but I am sure that you will agree that there has never been a high school coach that has skirted the rules just a little bit or been on the edge just a tad bit through the years. So that was always a good thing, of course.
Well, that's one thing that's what you're talking about, the rules changes. That's one thing that they're trying to get changed, that is trying to get a handle on everybody following the same rules, because there's been a gray area and they're trying to fix that. Hey guys, I apologize. This is my last day of camp, and we're in the last 5 minutes of camp. I took a little break here. I got to go send the campers off.
Absolutely. So, that's an important part of your job.
Talking to you guys. Appreciate what you guys do for high school basketball in the area, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. Coach Sturgeon in the middle of camp joining us, and we sure appreciate that. You know, that's another important part of a high school coach's job in the area, running these youth camps. They're coaching their teams. They're going to summer league games. That's something else that goes on in June, is trying to corral and excite and involve the future players in your program. And so Todd Sturgeon joining us on the fly today. We appreciate him being with us. So busy time is June. A lot of different things going for these high school coaches, and I'm not sure that people always, the regular fan that goes to the games on Friday nights and gets behind their school, I'm not sure that they always know all the things that go along with being a head coach, especially in a place where basketball is king like Southern Indiana.
Yeah, you're right. And we talked about the camp that Coach Sturgeon's working with today. Earlier, we talked about it at the college level, of how important it was for Coach Miller to start the team camp that he had in getting some of these top recruits on campus. You know, I think it starts down low and works its way all the way up through college when you put these camps together and get in front of future players.
Absolutely. And again, let's take another quick look at some games tonight. Action starts at 3:30 at Scribner Middle School in New Albany, Carroll County Christian Academy of Indiana. And I'm just listing off varsity games at 3:30. At 4:30, Christian Academy of Indiana back again against Henryville. 5:30, Tell City takes on Henryville. 6:30, Christian Academy of Louisville takes on Floyd Central. We just talked with Highlander boss Todd Sturgeon moments ago. At 8:30, Floyd Central and Tell City. That should be a great game tonight to wrap up the league at Scribner. Also at Hazelwood, 4:30 is when those games start. The first varsity game at Hazelwood is at 5:30. One of the Silver Creek varsity teams, the Varsity Blue, takes on Shawnee at 5:30. Shawnee takes on Cordon at 6:30. Providence takes on North Oldham at 7:30. And Cordon takes on North Oldham at 8:30. Varsity games at New Albany High School, 4:30. Charlestown takes on Kentucky Country Day. Silver Creek Orange takes on Bowling Green. That should be a good game. 6:30, Charlestown takes on Male. 7:30, New Albany and Bowling Green. Another great game. And 8:30, this is also a good game to watch if you want to go to New Albany and make an evening of it. Silver Creek Orange, their varsity team, that's their main team. They will take on Male tonight in the nightcap there. So a number of good games tonight. Admission's $2. You pay one time, get a stamp. It's good at all three locations. And we'll continue talking with some of the area coaches. We still need to hear from New Albany coach Jim Shannon and a few others to get an update on how summer league play has went and what they can tell us about their team so far.
Going to be there tonight watching some basketball and then going to kind of just keep an eye on things, how long it takes till I start shaking from not having high school ball to go watch once tonight is over.
Well, the good thing is I've promised a couple people. They said, Matt, we love you. We love your show. We love basketball, but you do know it's the middle of June and you're talking a lot of basketball. Don't forget, Floyd Central has a new football coach and there's high school football in less than 8 weeks. And I said, I know. As soon as Lee and I finish the high school basketball, way too early discussions with each coach, we'll jump to football. So that will be forthcoming here in just a couple weeks or less. Look forward to jumping into football. And the off season, you know, it's not the most fun time because there's no games to go out and that sort of thing. But getting to hear from the coaches and see how things are developing in the background is always fun.
Yeah, it is. And football is coming up. We got a lot of changes locally on the coaching scene. There's some great players coming back into the fold this year. So looking forward to that. It's not that we don't look forward to it, but it is Indiana.
That will wrap things up for us here on a Thursday show. Lee Kelly, thanks for sitting in with me once again. Lee is always kind enough to come in on Thursdays. Don't forget, you can podcast the show, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search us on Apple Podcasts. It's a free subscription, and you can catch up to the show each day. I'll be back with you tomorrow right here on the Big X Sports Radio.